As I'm busy building this vehicle, I'm getting lots and lots of comments on the channel. Three categories of comments, really. One is, well done, Andrew, you're marvelous. The second is, well, I'm not sure about that decision. Have you tried this? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? And then the third category of comment, which I won't worry about. It's the second category that I'm the most interested in. Now, some of the comments and ideas are really valuable. Others are just... Because a lot of the people that are commenting have huge experience when it comes to this Land Cruiser, campers, desert traveling. And many have obviously no experience at all. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't stop people commenting. But I think what would be valuable now is if I clarified the rationale of the Land Cruiser 79 double cab, the chassis stretch, and why and how I chose this particular camper to put on the back. Everything is a compromise. The moment you make one decision, it affects other decisions. For example, I have chosen the 79 Land Cruiser. Maybe I should have got something bigger. Maybe if I'd had the money, the new Dodge Ram. Bigger, fancier, cleverer, more powerful. Yeah, fantastic. And then I could have put maybe a four-wheel pop-up camper on the back, because that would have been even bigger. Because I would like this to be a little bit bigger, the space in the back of this camper. I'd like it to be a bit bigger. But okay, so having a lot of space in the camper is really important to me. Therefore, I need a bigger camper. Therefore, I need a bigger vehicle. Therefore, I need something like a Dodge. Sorry, I'm doing it in the workshop. This is an active workshop, so the noise, you're just going to have to forgive me. But then I've got a vehicle that it doesn't follow the track of the big American vehicles, don't follow the track lines of Australian bush tracks, and people that operate them on Australian bush tracks suffer from punctures a lot. Also, the vehicles are very thirsty. So you need to take, doing a trip, the long trip. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? Every choice affects every other choice. So the reason why I went for the Land Cruiser 79 is this. I like its simplicity. I like the fact that it has solid front axles. I like the fact that I'm familiar with it. And I like the fact, particularly like the fact, that I'm familiar with it. If I am now going to go to a vehicle that I'm unfamiliar with, that is going to present me with a whole lot of other challenges and a whole lot of other information that I'm going to have to get and trust from others. With the Land Cruiser 70 series, I know the vehicle intimately. So I'm confident that the decisions I'm making are good ones. The compromise of going to another vehicle would be, I would be buying a vehicle, developing a vehicle, and equipping a vehicle that I'm not familiar with. So, 79 Land Cruiser, double cab. Why a double cab and not a single cab? Because a single cab, I would have had to be able to put even a bigger camper on it. I'm a photographer, filmmaker. So being able to access stuff, equipment, very quickly from the vehicle is very important to me. It was one of the actual drawbacks of the troop carrier. It was compromised in that way, and I'd made a plan. I am now building the perfect photographer's access portal behind the driver's seat. That's why I wanted four doors. But now, four doors, the consequence of four doors, means that I have to get the double cab. The trouble is with the double cab Land Cruiser is it doesn't carry a load well. They're just not good load carriers because so much of the weight hangs off the back axle and it lifts up the front, and you ask anybody with a 79 double cab that with a heavy camper or canopy on the back and they will tell you that it's lousy to drive off-road because it doesn't handle well because there's so much weight on the back. So I could leave it as it is and not stretch the chassis to correct that load issue. But then I couldn't put something this heavy on it or this comfortable on it without it affecting the handling badly. So what was the solution to that? Because remember now, a lot of these things that I'm talking about, I wouldn't have needed to do if I had bought the Dodge. I wouldn't have needed to stretch the chassis. I would have had a bigger camper. I would have had everything. But the trust of being able to go on an off-road track and not have lots of punctures and be driving a vehicle that is actually simple, that I'm familiar with. That to me, personally, was very high up on my priority list. It just was. I could have bought a Dodge. I could have. I could have financed a Dodge. I didn't. Okay. So the compromise now comes to, I've now got to stretch the chassis. So I contacted the guys at Multidrive, and I said, here's the deal. I want to stretch the chassis. Can you help me? Now, what I mean by can you help me is, will you support the project to publicize it? I'm choosing you. Why? Because I know of your reputation. I've worked with you before. I know you personally, and I trust your work. Okay? I trust your work. So I knew that the conversion that they would do for me would be a good one. It would suit my purposes. And I could trust it. So I went to them and they said, absolutely. We are actually growing that part of our business anyway, so the timing is perfect. Everybody wins. I got it for free. You must remember, I chose it. They didn't come to me and said, please, Andrew, will you publicize our product? When that happens, and it has, I say no. I don't do paid advertorials, and I never have. Okay, I'm the guy who chooses. So they said, absolutely. Can we work with Terrain Tamer? Because we're fitting Terrain Tamer shocks and springs onto the conversions. The GVM upgrade is, you know, that set of suspension set. We would like to work with them. Great. I know them. I trust them. Win-win. So the fact is that everything sat nicely and we were able to do it. Now the chassis extension, let's talk about that. The chassis extension was 300 millimeters. It's this much. Okay, 300 mil. And that didn't lengthen the vehicle by 300 mil. It lengthened the vehicle by less than 100 mil. So I didn't do it because I wanted more space. I did it because I wanted to move the weight forward of the rear axle by moving the rear axle backwards. Okay, it's a very, very clear distinction here. I didn't do it for more space. On a single cab Land Cruiser, you can put the S6. This is an S4 for the smaller tray bed. Fits perfectly on the tray bed that I now have. Absolutely perfectly. So now I've got a heavy load, moved it forward, and hopefully, it would have solved the handling problem. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. It will definitely make a big difference. There is no doubt. Logically, it will make a big difference to the ride. Enough of a difference? I don't know. So that's why I'm still very conscious of the amount of weight I'm adding to this. We are now looking at some drop-down fridge sliders and some of them weigh 40 kilos. No, there has to be another way. 40 kilograms just to mount the fridge? No. So all of these things, one has to. Now, many of you will have known the previous video I spoke about the location of the second spare wheel. And I've had a lot of people say, why don't you put it in front? So in other words, the cab, wheel, canopy. No, I thought about that from day one. The 285/75 that I'm putting on this vehicle are about 340, I think, millimeters wide. So let's say I'm going 360 mil wide. So I need a 360 spacer here to put the wheels in. I've moved the back wheels backwards by 300, and I've moved the major weight backwards by 360. I have lost. If I do that, there's no point in me of doing the chassis. I must start again. The whole point of the chassis extension was to get this weight as far forward as possible. then sort out the spare wheel problem. And the spare wheel problem is a problem no matter which way. So somebody have said, you can't put it inside all of that valuable real estate. Well, how valuable is the real estate? So if I don't put it in there and I use the real estate for something else, where do I put it? Do I put it on the roof? No, I want solar panels up there, but that roof is not designed for a load. It's got no load bars on it. It's not designed for a load. Okay, so but I don't want to put up a load. I'm just going to put solar panels up there. I'm not going to put a load up there. So where else do I put it? On the back? There's already a place for one on the back. Maybe on the roof rack over the cab. The wheel is 830 wide, I think it is, the diameter, and the roof rack's only 700. It will stick out this much. No. Where else? Inside. I can't think of another place. Okay, but to the payoff, and the only other thing I can think of is, don't take a second spare wheel, but just a spare tire. And I could put that on the top because it's very light. But again, there are no tie-down rails on the top, so not really a solution. So that's the wheel location, which is a big question mark. And it has been the single most challenging part of developmentally developing the build and how things are going to fit and work. That has been the single biggest challenge. There is no other solution but to have it in here. And to be honest with you, I still have yet to actually fit it in to make sure it will fit. It's going to be a very tight fit. That I know. A very tight fit indeed. And I'm going to test that soon. And if necessary, make a few adaptations in here to make that work. Somebody said, just take a tire. Well, the tire's still got to fit in here and it's the same size. So just taking a tire is definitely a thought. I might just do that because it would be a lot easier to maneuver a tire in and out of here without a rim attached to it. And something like 18 kilograms lighter. So definitely worth thinking about. So why the camper? Why Tommy's camper? Why did I like the camper? I looked at a lot of different campers, and this is, by the way, this part is actually the comment on YouTube that actually triggered this entire discussion. Please help us understand why your selection criteria for a camper. Okay, I thought that was a fantastic question. So if I go back and I think to myself, okay, what about all of the campers I saw? I mentioned earlier on when this is how it worked. I saw it, Yucky Hubert from Quick Pitch Camper said, have you seen the Tommy camper? I saw one at the show, at the Perth 4-Wheel Drive show, and I was really impressed with it. I said, what did you like about it? And he said, I just liked its simplicity. It's just unpretentious and simple. Okay, well, yeah. I went and had a look at it, locally, had a look at it. First impression was, yeah, it's got potential. I like it because it's simple. I saw it again then in Victoria. I went to the factory, and John there was just waxing lyrical about it. But he it was his company, and he was going on about how wonderful it is, and the enthusiasm was infectious. It was fantastic, and he started showing me things that I hadn't seen earlier, and every single thing I liked because of one word hung in the air the whole time. And every single person who has seen this has reacted exactly the same way. Simple. Simple. What does simple mean? So, okay, what I wanted was a camper. Weight was important. Weight was critical. I discounted anything with an empty weight of more than 400 kilograms because that means the full weight is going to be between 500 and 550 kilograms. That was my mental 400 top. So I looked at a number of other campers, and I tell you what they all had that wasn't attractive to me. Every piece of space was used by something. You see, I believe that when building an overland vehicle, you shouldn't have a place, and many people will disagree with me on this, but this is the way I look at it. Don't have a place, especially for the chairs. Because chairs break and then you decide they're not that comfortable after all and you want to get another chair and then now they don't fit and now there's nothing else you can do with that space that's specially designed for the plates, the chairs, the this or the that. So if there is a specific place for everything, I think is a bad idea because it's difficult to adapt. So now you've got campers with every last space is filled with a drawer, with a pull-out, with a... I'm not crazy about that. I like to be able to adapt for myself. So now, for example, when we say simplicity of this camper is that every bit of it, I can adjust the height of the shelves in the kitchen. I can add a flange, add a bracket, add a this, add a that, move things around. I have freedom. I like to play with my vehicles. This is a brilliant DIY startup package. It's the best part about this thing, is that if you are the kind of person that loves to do your own building and stuff, it's fantastic because you've got the difficult bit done. The lift up, the bed, the structure is done. Now the detail you can do for your kit. So then if you want to, you can make spaces that are specially for the breadboard because you have got a favorite cutting board and you want to put it there. That's fine. But the people doing it in factories, guessing the size of stuff, I'd rather they didn't. I would rather what I've called is a blank canvas. Okay, and that's what this is. Secondly, thirdly, fourthly, fifthly, I didn't particularly want a camper with a lid that was this, because that's very rooftop tent-ish. So I can have a rooftop tent, and rooftop tents, generally speaking, when compared to something like this, are very, very cramped. Very cramped. Several people have suggested, why didn't you get a canopy and put a rooftop tent on it? And my reaction to that is, I'm amazed at that question. This is a canopy. And it's a camper. It's a canopy that I can climb inside if I want to and stand up in. And instead of having a cramped rooftop tent, I've got a full length pop-up integral with the canopy. To me, it's a no-brainer. And when I was developing this project, a canopy with a rooftop tent did not even know. I'm not interested. I've operated them a lot. No thank you. Because I know that I can do much, much better. I don't see, like some of you will not understand the advantages here, I just do not get the advantage of a canopy with a rooftop tent on top. What is the advantage of that over something like this? Cost, probably. How much cost? Work it out. Work out how much cost, the difference in cost. I don't think it's significant. The other part of the camper that was important to me is that I wanted to be able to take it off the bed of the pickup easily because that's my everyday vehicle. I don't want to keep it on the camper on all the time. I want to be able to take the camper off and wheel it into a workshop and work on it even with it off the vehicle. So my mindset is now gone quite strongly towards that because of these guys and the fact that this system is so easy. I'm thinking, oh, it's so easy to take off, far easier than I thought it would be, that I'm going to now not do what I had originally planned and keep all the batteries and everything inside the Land Cruiser and feed it into the camper. I'm actually going to have a self-contained camper so that it will have its own electrical system. So I'm actually building two electrical systems. Normally, would I do that? No, I wouldn't do that. I would just have one electrical system and it would probably be in the camper and not in the pickup. But I have well, I have access to these guys, and hey, is it overkill? Sure, it is overkill. And so the temporary fitting, the quick refit and removal feature of this has become very important in my mind because it's, as I said, because it's so easy. The choice of tray. Now, the troop carrier, as much as I adored it and adore troop carriers, one does not go by without me noticing it. The limitation of the troop carrier, especially when one has equipped it for an overland tourer, you can't really put anything in it. It's very limited. It's no longer a versatile vehicle. But now with the pickup and a tray, it means that when the camper comes off, I have a ute. But I want the ute to work very well as a self-contained vehicle. And that is why I went for the Norwell tray, because the Norwell tray was basically, it has water. I like to carry water all the time. It has all the boxes at the side. It has the massive drawer at the back. It's really nicely built. And I went to the Norwell guys and said, would you like to be a part of this process? And yes, they gave me one, because it'd be silly not to, because I was offered it from a number of people. I was offered trays. They weren't the only ones, but they were the one that I selected because I particularly liked it. All right. Could I have gone for a lighter tray? Yes. I could have compromised on the tray, got a lighter tray, and put the camper on a much more basic lighter tray, and therefore saved cost and weight. But I decided not to, because I want this vehicle to be as versatile as possible. It was also very high on my list. The other problem we had with the camper is that Tommy Campers recommends an upright fridge freezer. And the reason why they do that is that if you have an upright, you don't need any mechanism to drop it down. You can just walk it up to it, open it, and access your food. Okay. But I don't like upright fridges for trail work, very rough off-road. I just don't like them. I've driven them before and they frustrated me. I want a traditional bin type fridge freezer. But here's the problem, and it's been a massive problem, and we haven't solved it yet. If I, for example, the Clearview drop down is something like 40 kilograms. Not only that, if I have got enough space in that camper to put, I can fit my 70-liter Snowmaster in there. It will fit. The trouble is, the moment I put a drop down, it won't fit. The Clearview, I can only put a 40-liter in there. I've got to go from a 70 to a 40 because of the mechanism. And many of them are like this. The mechanism that has been designed to pull out and drop and support the fridge is so not only heavy, but takes up so much space. I have not seen one properly engineered. I'm sorry, don't tell me that it cannot be done in probably half, if not less, than the space you're using already. So what I'm now doing is that I'm saying, okay, well, I wanted a Snowmaster, but none of them will fit except for the 40, and 40 isn't big enough. So I could go National Lunar. They've got a 52, and the reason why it'll work is because if I have a tilt down as opposed to a drop down, the tilt downs are a third of the weight, if not a quarter of the weight, and because they don't have massive mechanisms at the side, I can fit a bigger fridge freezer in there, and I could just drop it down. But here's the problem. The doors to the fridges will hit the overhead. So then none of those work anywhere. The only one will work is if I have a lid that hinges on the long end of the fridge freezer. National Lunar, make a 52 liter. All of the others are 40 liters. None of you fridge makers are making, apart from National Lunar. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe we should take the 60 and convert it. As things are starting getting complicated now. But you see the problem. All right, these manufacturers making designs in campers and canopies so often are not thinking, I have no space to spare, therefore, and then engineer it from that point of view. I have no space to spare. I don't think any of them do it. They just design it. Sure, they work. They don't think about weight and they don't think about space. Okay, big problem that I'm having to now try and solve. And I will solve it. The other thing is also that you mustn't, as viewers of the channel and watching the build, please don't take everything I say. Oh, but you said you want to do anything in life well. Anything in life well. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay. So I'm allowed to. I'm now giving myself permission in your eyes. Guys, if I said something before and I'm not doing the same now, it's because I changed my mind. And the probability is I changed my mind because I found a better way. Or there was another problem that was unforeseen and it just couldn't happen. Somebody said to me, well, commenter, said, what's next? Over the top. What's next? If Elon Musk asked you, would you send it into space? Something like that. And my reaction is, yeah. If Elon Musk contacted me and said, Andrew, can we catapult your Land Cruiser and camper into space? I would say, sure. Do you really expect me to say, no, that's over the top. We don't want to do that. The point I'm making is that, is it over the top? Of course it's over the top. That Land Cruiser 79 double cab is over the top. You don't need one to go and do touring. I choose one to go and do touring. Why? Because I can. Why not? Why limit ourselves? Why mentally limit ourselves? Why not dream? Why not dream? How many vehicles? This is my 17th vehicle build, okay, that I built for myself, my 17th four-wheel drive. Did I start with this? No. I didn't have a fridge in my first vehicle. I didn't have my first trip that I took. I had no winch, no driving lights. It was a stock station wagon. Stock, as you can think. Oh, I upgraded the alternator because the Lucas alternator kept stop working all the time. You understand what I'm saying? So I progressed to this phase. If you personally are not at this phase and you think this is over the top, you don't start with this. When you're a baby, you don't start by running a marathon. You start by reaching the couch. You've got to start somewhere. And I'm lucky enough because I've been doing this a long time and this is now my job. It's what I do for a living. I can do this. Over the top, yes, and why the hell not?